listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host with the most, Nikki Kolula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have a very special guest all the way from Oklahoma. She recently played a show with an artist I'm playing bass for, Miss Kennedy Fine. How are you, Kennedy?
Hello. I'm so good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So it's 3 o'clock Oklahoma time. Is that right?
Yes, 3 o'clock.
Are you coming out of winter? Are you out of the rains? Are you into the humidity and heat?
Yeah, Oklahoma's weird because, I mean, everyone says this about their weather, but, like, it's freezing, but it will be hot tomorrow. Only thing I don't like about this weather is the tornadoes.
Yes.
Like, we're known for that. We have a storm. It's so often we're like, eh, it's probably fine.
I drove through a tornado, and it was, like, not actually through the eye, but when it was, like, brimming, and it was one of the craziest drives I've ever had in my life. It was from New Orleans, and I just don't think I can do it again. It's like, oh my God, that's just, but I mean, it's normal for you. So
yeah, that's a Tuesday afternoon.
You see them all the time, I'm sure.
Oh, 100%. So that it's now officially March tornado season. Yeah. We're just going to finish our Netflix show and keep going. That we're not getting in that storm shelter. We are not.
<You're> like, it's too much. It's just another day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how was the rest of your tour? You played the Whiskey, you played the Mints,
yes,
a Jam in the Van episode. How did that go, by the way?
Oh God, it was so fun. I don't know why I thought it was going to be like an actual van, because like obviously that wouldn't work. And I get there and it's this huge RV, and I was like, okay, well, that makes a lot more sense. But
Jam in the Van sounds better than Jam in the RV.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. But it was so cool. I loved it. And the van was all decorated with, I mean, I'm sure you know, artists who have played before. So I got to leave my little memento. I left a baseball cap.
Oh, and that's awesome.
Yeah, so official. It was so great. So it releases April 2nd.
Awesome. Well, that's amazing. Are you excited?
Very, very, very excited.
How many songs did you do? You did 2?
We did 3. I did a song called Criminal, California Bound. Those two will be released soon. And then my third one I did was Sabotage, and that one's already out.
You can see my French bulldog right here. Wait, over here. Chewing on my-
I love that.
He may make an appearance. He's a little rascal. But anyways, so you played Los Angeles. What other cities did you play on tour?
So we did Austin and Denton as well. So we tour a little weird because we don't really like go consecutively. We pick an area that we like, play a lot of shows in that area, move on to the next. So I've loved it. And we're actually going back to Austin next month. So
cool.
I love Austin.
How far is that drop? I've only been there for South by Southwest. I've played there twice. I just love that city. It's like one of my favorites. You know, it's like just a music city. It's vibrant. What clubs did you play there? Because they're always changing, and it's just always like a revolving chair. It's like revolving chairs. The venue changed so much.
True. I was like looking to play this one club that was open 2 months ago, and like it's already like gone. Something else is coming in. But we did Far Out Lounge, and in Denton we played Rubber Gloves. And then next month we're going to do the Austin Gardens and Studios. So I'm really looking forward to that one. That should be good. Yeah.
Exciting. And what did you think of the Whiskey?
Oh my goodness, that was best show of my life. I mean, it's just such an honor to play a venue that's so historic like that. The lighting was insane, like the sound was insane. Yeah, was soaking it up for sure.
Did you do a video camera shoot there or anything like that, or did you just play there? You did. Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, for sure.
You want the footage to come back from it. Just have low expectations of the sound. That's why I was like, okay.
Yeah.
probably going to be a board mix, which is not going to be that great. But
right.
But it's iconic, and that's one of the reasons. I actually wanted to play it. I love the Doors because they were the house bands. It's my English bulldog coming in. Sorry.
Oh, I love any guest appearance. I'm here for it. Yeah.
They must like you. They hear your voices, and then you know, I can move a little bit and see. There they are. There's smiles.
What a cutie.
So the reason I wanted to play it was because Jimi Hendrix played it. I don't know if you knew that Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
And Led Zeppelin were like some of the bands that played there. So for me, I really wanted to play it. We got to headline it, which was amazing because it was, you know, like most bands, they play like the way you did it, where it's like probably like four or five bands on the bill,
yeah,
something like that. But because we'd played like the House of Blues and all that stuff, they were like, we're going to give you the venue. We're going to give you the night and you can book whoever you want and build That's the night. Amazing. And I was like, great. So we may go back there again. But what was so cool about it was you see like the history of how iconic the dressing rooms are, the stages, like the, you know, the billing on the front. That must have been, for me, it was so cool to see my name on the billing. I know that must have been.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Driving on Sunset Boulevard and seeing your name on the billing. Tell me what that feeling was like for you.
Well, I wasn't expecting it because, like you said, there's four or five bands on the bill that night, and we were the first to go. So I really just thought it was going to be Stan Bush and Vince DiCola, which is who we were opening for. And I pull up, and someone in my band was like, your name's on there. And I was like, that's not even funny. Like, don't play with me like that. And I looked up, and sure enough, and I got out of the car and like immediately took a bunch of pictures. And I wanted to tell people stopping by, I wanted to be like, that's me. But I did.
People know. This town, if you're taking a picture in front of the billing, they know it's you. You know what's crazy too is like, I always think about like the, you know, the advertising, because it never used to have all those ads underneath the billing.
Yeah.
And now it's become like one of the most premier advertising spots on Sunset Boulevard because it's such a big wall space. And it's so like labels and all kinds of people are always looking to just kind of, you know, advertise anything. So
yeah,
it's like what I think of is like that venue used to just be a wall. And now it's become like, you know, Sunset Boulevard is known for billboards and like advertisements and clubs and all these iconic historical venues and clubs and comedy clubs and hotels. But I always think, I'm like, I wonder what they're making on advertisements on that one wall, because it's such an iconic wall and it changes so much. So these are the little things that I think about just living here. But
oh, I love that.
What's amazing is like, it's your first trip to LA. Mm-hmm. It spans a long time to play that venue, and it must have been a thrill. And you did it. Would you go back is the question.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Okay. I've actually already kind of started talking to some of the people there about coming back next time I'm in town. Awesome. So was thrilled. Yeah, my manager, you know, booked it for me, and she was like, do you want to play the whiskey? And I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't think she meant the whiskey a go-go. I just thought she meant like some like bar called the whiskey or something.
Right.
So I know, I was like, I guess. And she sent me the link and it said a go-go, and I had to do a double take.
How did you hear about the whiskey a go-go?
Well, just honestly through my band. And so, I mean, me too, but so many people in my band have taken inspiration and their own like musicality from people who've played there. So like you said, Jimi Hendrix, The Doors, Van Halen, so many people.
Yes.
So, and my dad loves music. Like I grew up around a bunch of people who love music. So it's always been kind of a name, but honestly, I started like really kind of digging into the history when I got a band.
Right.
And I think that having a band teaches you a lot more about different kind of music styles and musicality, because you're not on your own anymore. You're also pulling from other people's inspirations.
Yeah.
It really opened my eyes to a whole new kind of feel and style and genres of music. And I feel a lot more educated now than I did like just 2 years ago. So yeah. When the whiskey, I knew it. Yeah.
So full of history. And the weird thing is, if you look up Zeppelin playing the whiskey, the stage is on another side of the room. It was not like,
really?
So it's interesting. Like most of the historical bands have played it in the capacity that we did, but it has changed like the looks and the vibes of it for the most part. But like the Police have played their Sting, you know, so many iconic bands, Van Halen, like you said, all the hair bands, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, they've all played the whiskey. So it's an honor just to be a part of the legacy and the lineage. You know, it's like one of those things. Dave Matthews Band also played it. There's just so many bands. It continues to be a venue that, you know, I think will stick around. The cool thing is we used to headline the House of Blues on Sunset Boulevard, and now that venue is no longer there. And I remember asking the booker, I said, is the family ever going to sell this venue? And they said, no, they want to just keep it. Mm-hmm. And that's so cool because it's one of those iconic venues that I hope never leaves this, you know, this city.
Yeah.
Because all of them have changed or closed down. And so it's just weird. So you got to hit the Viper Room too. That's another one. That's an iconic venue.
Yeah. I saw it on the way to the whiskey and I have it on my list. You know, I went to Amoeba Records while we were there. I think it'd be so sick to play Amoeba. That would be awesome. Spent way too much money in there. I think all the money like I made at the whiskey, I just gave to Amoeba Records.
I do it all the time. So don't worry.
Yeah. What,
did you see like the used collection, they've just got so many, anything that you can think of, they've got. I always go in there and I spend way too much. So yeah. I feel your pain, 100%.
For sure. It was so cool. So hoping to go back. Yeah. Hit up all the venues again. That'd be so great. And I want to like eventually move to LA, which I think I told you that when I was visiting. Cause
I didn't say that. No, I didn't know that.
I didn't. Okay. Yeah. It's always been a dream of like, that's why I wrote the song California Bound, because ever since I was a kid, I wanted to move to Los Angeles because I actually started out in acting.
Things here, you know, it's like, that's like one of the things about the city. It's like, you cannot do a lot in the industry without coming through this terminal. You know, it's just, there's LA and New York and it's really, everything is here for both. So I hope you do move. Let's go back to the very beginning though. What was the moment of Zen that made you want to become a singer or an artist? Was it a song you heard on the radio? Was it your family playing music? Mm-hmm. What was the moment of Zen for you that you know that spoke to you that said, I want to be a singer?
Yeah, it was honestly, it was like kind of a slow progression. Because like I said, I started out in acting and I always loved to sing. And I always like, I started piano when I was young and guitar when I was young. So it was always just kind of there. But it was never something that I thought that I was going to actually do. But I always loved to write too. This is what's so interesting. Everything was very separate and like compartmentalized. So I like to write stories. I like to sing and I like to play the piano, but I had never just like combined everything. When I was 14, I went to Nashville for the first time, went to a songwriting camp just because I think my parents were like, you know, you're good at this and you could just try it out, see if you like it. And I loved it. So I started to take it more seriously. And then when I was 17, I kind of been writing, singing, putting it all together for 3 years. I was actually contacted by a team and through Instagram. And they were like, you know, we think that you could do this seriously. And that's when I really started to like look at it harder, not just as a hobby, but something that kind of felt like I was meant to do. So that's when I really started going full force into music and put acting on the back burner. So yeah, it was just like, it was a slow progression. I don't feel like there was ever a moment. It just all of a sudden kind of clicked. And I was like, yeah, this makes sense.
You're like, I want to do this. I want to do that. And now you're like, I want to do it all. And I want it to be all in music, which is awesome because that means that, you know, you're able to kind of express all your creative, like, you know, talents in one place. Do you find that it's changed the way you look at the world a little bit? Because now you're documenting it through song. So you look at things in a different way. Like, well, tell me about your creative process. When you write, are you writing about heartbreak? Are you writing about, like, people? Like, how you go through life? Is it watching others? Like, are you an observer? Tell me what inspires you as a songwriter?
Yeah, I feel like the reason I always loved writing when I was a kid, not because writing forces me to see the world a different way. I feel like I've always kind of seen the world a different way, which is why I have to write. Right. I feel like that came first because I'm a very sensitive person and not in like, I get my feelings hurt easily. Like it's the music industry. You're going to get rejected every day.
Yeah.
But just like very attuned. 1,000%. But I've just always been like very attuned to other people's emotions. So I feel like that's like the creative process first and foremost is just like pure raw emotion. That's why so many of my songs are personal. I don't have a lot of songs that I don't relate to. I don't like character write a lot.
Right.
So I don't like to force myself to write. I know a lot of people are like, I want to write a song a day and that's how I practice, but I can't do it.
I don't agree with that at all, because I think it forces you to write a lot of bad songs. And I think if you inhale enough and take your time and kind of live your life and kind of write about the things that matter, or write the songs that matter, every song will count. And it's like in this place. And I've kind of done both. Like, I've had assignments, you know, I've had deadline labels or whatever. But I think the biggest thing is writing because you want to write. There's something about that like, and I love, like, I've been co-writing quite a bit. And what's really kind of cool is like seeing what others can throw down as well as what you can throw down, and then like being surprised by it. I love that moment. It's like music, the best songs surprise us. It's like, oh my God, I'm in this place, I'm writing a song. And then when you finish it, you're like, whoa, this is really good. You know, like, oh, I want to take this to my band. I want to rehearse it. Oh, I want to record it. Oh, I want to. And it's like the crazy thing that most audiences don't know is like, they're behind the curve. You're already on the next song. You're already on the next record while they're ingesting the first one. So tell me what that experience has been like for you as you're recording songs, touring and playing these songs live, the response, you're living the songwriter and rock band life. Tell me what that's like for you.
Got really high highs, really low lows, as I'm sure you know.
Love that.
I mean, I love it. I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's exactly what I want to be doing. I'm so grateful I get to do it. But it's kind of, it's like you said, I'm really proud of the work that I have right now, but it's always kind of like, well, you got to keep churning out content. You got to keep churning out more. So I like to use experiences on the road to like kind of channel into my, you know, next EP. I haven't actually released an EP yet. I'm like, that's what I'm kind of working on. I've just been doing singles, kind of got that in the works, ideas for that. But I mean, I feel like I've grown so much as an artist this past year from playing and getting to have all these amazing experiences. I love what you said about co-writing. I love to co-write. I love co-writing in Nashville. It's just really crazy that the more that you build an audience and the more that you play these songs, and people start to recognize them. That's what I love, is when you play an area enough or you play a venue enough where people start to really know your songs, and they'll be like, are you going to play Criminal tonight? And it's like, oh,
I love
that. You know that. Yeah. So.
Well, I will tell you something funny. I love that so much, but I also I'm very particular about set lists. Mm. If somebody requests a song, that doesn't mean they're getting the song. So I've actually made audiences, especially at festivals, they'll be yelling for a song. I'm like, it's not on the set list. I'm sorry. So I've made audiences wait 2 years and then I'll play it on the third year. Wait, just because I've been doing this from, 2002, and it's like every set list we ever make has never been duplicated. We never play the same set.
Wow. That's really cool.
So it's important to me to do that, because then it's interesting to me. It's it's always evolving and changing. So we rehearse the set list before we go to a festival. So if I come up with a set list and I send it to everybody and I'm like, this is what I want to play, then if it's not on the set list, we don't just do that. And it's weird, because I'm sure in the beginning we may have done that. I don't remember if we have. I don't think we have. But there's something it's really weird for me now, because I'm an older musician and I'm like, I don't necessarily want to be a jukebox, even if it's my own song. I want to play. I want to give you a show that I think is going to just reach you.
Yeah.
Whatever that show is. So the funny thing is, those fans all came back every single one of those years. Said the third year, I said, it's on the set list this year. And you guys all waited. So
there you go.
So a lot of people came up to me and they said, it made us keep coming back. And I said, that is awesome. So
that's cool.
Sometimes if you give them the song that they're asking for, they're not going to come back because they got it. But that song, it keeps them, it gives them a reason to keep coming back. So remember, because play the songs you want to play.
Yes.
Play the set you want to play.
Yeah, I feel that.
Because it's it's a hard thing to kind of realize, but I've heard other artists say the same thing. And I'm like, that's awesome, because it's like going to a restaurant and wanting a Big Mac. It's like, even though they may have a burger on the menu, maybe that's not on the menu, for that day. It's like, no, you know, we don't have burgers on the menu today, but we have an amazing assortment of fish and salads and chicken, and we just got this duck from whatever. You know what I mean? You just know.
Yeah.
So continue to be the tastemaker.
Love that.
What made you put your band together? What was that? Was it friends? Was it friends of friends? Like, how did the band come together?
So I knew I was at the point in my career where I needed a band, because there's only so much that you can do solo. Like, I don't think if I was solo, I would have been able to play the whiskey. You know, it's so much easier to advertise and play bigger venues when you have a band.
True.
So I just knew I was at the point. And the music community in Oklahoma is growing. I won't say it's like super, super widespread right now. It's still kind of the phase where I feel like everyone kind of knows everyone. So I was like, I'm going to have to kind of search out musicians. So I put up flyers in our local music school.
Cool.
I had people audition. And what's so funny is I'm like close with my band now. You know, we've traveled together, we practice all the time. But they were like, man, you were kind of scary. Like when I had to go out and audition.
That's wow. You like, what you got? Play me a guitar solo.
Yeah. They were like, I was terrified. And I was like, I'm going to take that as a compliment. I'll be so for real. I love it when people are scared of me. I guess I'm doing something right, you know? Well,
you got power a little bit, and it's like, you're the boss. Yeah, it's also like, sometimes you gotta be the boss in a bad way. So don't be afraid to put on the mean hat sometimes, because you'll need to. It keeps your band in line. And
well, yeah.
I'm a cool boss. I'm definitely a cool boss with my band, but there are moments they see me heated, and it's usually with like festival stage managers or stuff like that. Maybe something's not correct, but they know like when I'm driving the bus, all in line, and let's make something together. So
that's cool.
Continue to be that strong, scary person sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and I love it because I get to tell them, you know, what songs we're going to play and cover. So I'm the only girl, it's a bunch of guys. So I'll be like, we're going to play Pony Club. I love making them play those kind of songs. And but they've actually like, they've grown to like it. I think sometimes I'll be like, we're going to cover this. And they're kind of like, are we? Like, is that what's happening? And then we'll kind of make it our own. And then they like it. But it's really fun. And I like that we're all friends. I mean, it's so great to work with people that you enjoy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I kind of always feel this way. We always rehearse. And we always rehearse before our gigs. And there's an electricity and a hang that comes with rehearsing that I've never gotten tired of. It just feels good all the time. Even when like sometimes it's kind of like working out. It's like, oh, I don't feel like going to the gym. Oh my God. And then when you're there, you're like, okay, I'm in the zone. I'm going to do this. And it feels so good. I feel like rehearsals are always like that. One thing I always tell people too, especially my fan, it's like your performances should be glimpses of your rehearsals. If you're doing your rehearsals right, they should be like a percentage of how good the rehearsals were. The rehearsals are always better than the performances. But if you can tap into some magic that you had in the rehearsals, you're doing exactly what the performances should do. So I know you guys are probably doing that and kind of experimenting together. Was there an electricity when you first played together, your first rehearsal together, for example?
I will be so honest. No.
That happens a lot too. Sometimes
Well, and like a lot of my songs aren't released. That's kind of the issue. So it's kind of like my bad. So I was really, and I didn't have my songs even recorded at this
point. Oh, wow. Okay.
So we were completely going off of like me. I had my acoustic guitar and I was like, this is the song. Let's make something happen. So that first rehearsal was like a little awkward because they were like, well, what do you want me to do? And we were all kind of like picturing what we want the vision to finally sound like. And it took a lot of trial and error. I don't think our first shows were bad by any means, but it's just funny because you play your first show and everyone came up to me and they're like, that was so good. Like, that was awesome. And then I look back a year later, I'm like, well, I think that kind of sucked. Like, I don't think that was that good, but no one would know. And then they see us a year later and they're like, wow, we thought that you were good, but this is just even better. And so it really shows the progression of you playing with someone more and more, and the songs really sound different now because they finally kind of took form and came to life. And I also finally have them recorded But what was funny is I recorded them and stylized them based on what I came up with my band, not the other way around. Oh, so that was pretty cool. Yeah.
So what's funny too is like, it'll take you another 10 years to look back at that first gig and listen to it and say, actually, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't so awful.
It's a full circle. You'll go, oh, that wasn't that good. Oh my God, I can't believe people like that. And then a year later or 2 years later, you're like, yeah, we're a lot better than we are than we were then. And then 10 years later, you're going to say, you know what? We weren't that bad. It was actually good. So you'll come around to that. It'll take time. Tell me what was one of your favorite parts of touring?
I mean, I just like, I don't know, I like adventure. I like getting to see new things. I think another reason I want to like make it so badly in music is I want to travel the world. Like that is my number one dream. So what I love, honestly, I mean, besides just being on stage, because that's what I, you know, live and breathe for. But besides just getting to play, just exploring a new city and getting to see things, I think it's so cool. And that's why next time I go to Austin, I want to go like a few days earlier. And really soak in the city and see the sights before I have to just play and leave. That's my favorite part.
Well, the other thing too is even if you only have a day, we always like do something, whether it's a restaurant, a coffee shop, something that's like iconic to the city to either experience or do. It just depends on what it is. And sometimes as you keep traveling, the traveling is actually from one place to the next. It's not actually in the place. Mm-hmm. Things I love is like I like looking out the window and seeing the country, like seeing like barren desert lands or mountains or like oceans or whatever it is. So you know that part of like you drive through the country and you realize what an amazing country this is.
It's yeah, 100%. It was beautiful, like the drive west.
Yeah, it's just a fun thing to do, and it's also you come up with routes. And you'll come up with spots that you want to hit, like, oh, let's go to that taco joint that we went to. Like, so start making a journal because those spots are important that you kind of like hit along the way. It's just so, so fun. Something so great about it. Well, let's play something. What do you want to play first?
Ooh, okay. Let's do
artist choice.
Wait, what was that?
It's an artist choice.
Artist choice. Let's do Stars Are Broken. That was the first song I released.
All right, here's Stars Are Broken by Kennedy Fine.
Still see the spot where you would park your car. Follow your fingertips tracing a ray. And you call me on the drive back to your house, but you stopped when you burned ours down with me inside it. If you could promise me forever, then say that it was said by mistake. The stars are broken. Who burned the sky? Who turned the lights out on you and I? I was throwing wishes. What a waste of time. You were my world. I was a doubt in your mind. The stars are broken. You used to care enough to bring a bouquet now. Instead of roses, it's just new ultimatums. Used to be proud that it was my hand you held. Now my lips only tell all my friends how much I hate ya. You went and promised me forever. How did our constellation?
Just
Very nice, very nice, very pretty song.
Thank you.
Super hooky, super poppy. Tell me what the inspiration behind it was.
It was my first breakup that I went through when I was.
It's always that.
It's so funny because it's such like a heartfelt song, and it's weird because when I first wrote it, I was like, I'm never getting over this. And then I sing it on stage, and it's like I don't think about what it's about until someone asks me, what is this about? And then I'm like, oh, I wrote it about him. Like that's embarrassing. Like that.
Oh, yeah. I know what you to look at it later, like maybe like this, but I've written about women that I've been with, and it's like, that's a beautiful thing. It's like, that's a cool thing that you document like your love story through. Yeah. Song, you know what I mean? So you'll look at it like you know you're past the pain now, but yeah. that pain was real when you wrote it.
So true.
And
so
that's true. What helped you get through it, you know? So it's a good thing.
Yeah.
So those things happen.
I'm very glad that I'm so like able to sing about it, but yet disconnected from it at the same time. I feel like it's great because it, you know, the stars are broken. It's kind of meant different things throughout my life. I guess that's what I meant when like I first wrote it. But, you know, there's a lot of times, especially in this industry, where it's really easy to lose hope or lose sight of things. And wow. So it can kind of just translate to wherever you are in life now. And that's what I love about music. I mean, it's always kind of evolving and changing as you become different people throughout your life.
That's what keeps it new for me, is that yeah. It's always new and kind of different, you know? So I love that you're writing in this pop style. Tell me a little bit about like the when you came to production and kind of figuring out a vibe. Tell me like how you understood what you were going to do.
Yeah, I took a lot of inspiration from Olivia Rodrigo's Sour album. At that point in my life, that was like the thing I was listening to cover to cover. Still do. I mean, honestly, I can't wait for OR3 to drop. But I took a lot of inspiration from like kind of softer heartbreak pop ballads. And I think even though I love that song and it's my most successful song to date right now, I kind of shifted genres a little bit. I feel like I'm doing more indie rock now. Still kind of
you have a band that like you make that transition from doing it with a band and then kind of doing it in a studio. Do you think that's the difference?
100%. It was figuring out how do I want these songs to sound live? Because I honestly, like we even played that song different live now. We kind of do more of a breakdown at the end of it. It's not as kind of just like pretty pop. It sounds more grittier, but I still have songs that I've recorded that are like that. But it's just interesting to see me kind of finding my genre and sound as an artist to now, but I still love it. I do wish I'd written that song in a key lower to sing it live.
Why? Because it's too high now, you think, or what?
It's like right at my break. So it's like, I can sing higher than that, but it's just like, right. And I'll tell people that and they'll be like, you wrote it. And I'm like, I know. I don't
know. Wait till you get older. It changes. Yeah, it's funny. We don't think about that stuff. Like when a song is born, maybe it's born in one key, but maybe it's more comfortable to sing it in another key. I think that's like some of the pre-production that you end up doing as you keep doing records. It's like you figure out, oh, this sounds better right here. So now I do that. Like I'll change keys as soon as I write a song just to see if I would do it differently.
That's smart.
Change. You know what I mean? So yeah. Continue to do that. I love that you're taking the pop songs that you wrote and making them more rocky. It just makes it so it has a different approach, you know? So it also has a different life live. Do your fans, have they noticed like, oh, this is more rockish? Like, do they like it? Or are they kind of like, I like that one has a life in one style, one has a life in another style.
So everyone who's seen it live really likes it. What's interesting is I think that my biggest fan base as far as avid listeners to my music are on TikTok. And a lot of them are, you know, between the ages of like 15 and 25. So a lot of them haven't been able to see me live yet. Like they're waiting for me to come to a city. So they only know that version, like some of my most active listeners. So it'll be interesting when I finally get to go to see like the main consensus. But yeah, as far as live shows that I've played, a lot of people are either seeing me for the first time or they like know my music because I'm local. So, but so far people really like it. Yeah.
That's cool. Let's play something else. And then I want to talk to you about promotion in this modern age, because I know it's a trying kind of situation, but
yeah.
What do you want to play next?
Let's do Sabotage, because we recorded those two, wrote those two exact same day.
All right, here's Sabotage by Kennedy Fine.
What's your name? I don't care. Either way, smoke's rising in the air. Sorry in advance for what I'm gonna do. It's just who I am from what I've been through. I'm done playing nice, done saying please. The one that I love is me, 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 me. It's more fun to sabotage. Breaking hearts goes down like medicine for me. Twisted remedy. Watch me sabotage. Innocent eyes, not too fast. You're thinking about the future while I'm thinking about the crash. Picket fence, perfect 10. God, that's really boring. And the moral of the story is I'm done playing nice, done saying please. The one that I love is me. It's more fun to sabotage. Breaking hearts goes down like medicine for me. I get what I want. The passenger comes second to the driver's seat. So on the counter, one, two, three. Watch me sabotage. Don't get confused, it's not a tragedy, tragedy. I'll take the fall and do it happily, happily. I understand if you get mad at me, bad at me. And my master, it's my fun to sabotage. Breaking hearts goes down like medicine to me. Twisted remedy. I get what I want. The passenger comes second to the driver's seat. So all the counter, one, two. Sabotage. Oh, oh. Sabotage. Ooh. Watch me sabotage.
That's an awesome tune, too. That's very pop rock. Tell me how you did that approach and tell me how it came about.
I just want to do something different because I've been doing the singer-songwriter kind of thing for a long time. And that song was born because I thought of the song title, Sabotage. And I was working with a co-writer. His name's Kyle Reynolds. Love that dude. And he was like, well, I kind of had this idea, this hook of it's more fun to sabotage. And so when I say I don't do a lot of character writing, I have very few songs that are kind of, I feel like I'm more of a persona. That's the one. It was just purely fun, purely vibes. And we wrote that. We actually wrote Stars Are Broken in like 2 hours, took a break, wrote that one in about 2 hours. And then I went and recorded them the same day. Wow. So yeah, it was really fun to have that kind of like different vibe in the studio.
You did that in Nashville, I assume?
Yeah, in Nashville.
Cool. Yeah, that sound, I knew right away just because that's how they churn them out. They're like, let's write it, let's record it, let's make it happen, let's get it out. All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
That's cool. It has a cool approach too. It's like almost, you can hear the Olivia Rodrigo influence in that one for sure.
Yes.
She has a lot of that, the pop rock thing in what she does. Tell me about promotion in this modern age. Tell me about like what are the struggles of promoting in this social media age, and also just like, you know, TikTok and Instagram. Tell me how you approach each of these streaming platforms and social platforms in a way to make it special for you. Tell me what that's like for you.
I gotcha. So like I said, I feel like when I'm on the road, most people who are seeing me for the first time, because I like to go to different cities and connect with different local bands there and kind of all collaborate, come together on a show. Great way for me to get a new audience. Great way for them to like have a show. So that is what I love about the promotion part, is the face-to-face. And then as far as being in my city, that's where I can really build a fan base because they'll keep showing up and showing up. The social media part is a little hard for me as an artist because it feels so contradictory at times, because music is all about being real and authentic, and then social media is the exact opposite of that. So it's a lot of trial and error to find promotion and videos that don't make me feel like, I hate the word cringe because I think that, you know, anything can be cringe if you make it cringe, but like authentic and true to me, that is a great way to showcase my music and who I am as a person and not just trying to feel like I'm selling people something.
It's hard because it's like, it is like you're promoting art, you're promoting yourself, and you have to do it in a way that's fun. I think the destructive part of social media is we feel like we're trying to sell. And that takes a lot of the fun out of music.
Yeah.
So for me personally, it's like, I find that social media can be exhausting. So like, I kind of look at it like, what would I want social media to be? I kind of look at it like, I'm going to make it a scrapbook.
Yeah.
It like, here's my life. Be a fan of all of the things that are important to me in my life. And you'll get the music, you'll get the sounds. And it's like, the music is always at the forefront of like, every experience and every kind of adventure and every part of life that you want to kind of document. But it is hard to kind of make it social media worthy, which I think is so silly to say.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to show the true authentic self in social media, because who cares? Who cares? Like, social media is not going to matter in 100 years. Like, people think it will. So it's like, I think I ask you this question because when we started, there was no social media. It was flyers. It was, you know, calling people, texting people to come to shows, which I still think is the most effective. But social media has made it easier and harder because you're having to target market, you know, your brand or your music to fans. And then also you're like lost in the shuffle, because if you're not advertising or if you're not posting all the time and hitting the algorithm, you know, thing to get things moving, then it's easy to get lost in the shuffle. And it's kind of obnoxious to me. It's like, you know what? If it's good, people should notice. And it's like, hard, because you may have 1,000 people or more on your TikTok or your Instagram, and they may not all be able to see whatever you're posting, which I think is crazy. It's like, if you have a circle, you should be able to access your circle whenever you want. But that's
1,000%. It's like a bunch of ads now too on all platforms. So people have to scroll through the ads to find people they follow. Yes. That's why I love the face-to-face. I love going on the road, playing with other bands, getting to meet their fans, getting to like meet people in the city. And then at my shows, I just like to, like, after I play, I like to physically go up to people. If I know them before, they're a fan of mine, thank them for coming out. And if I don't know them, say thank you for coming, you know, shake their hand. Like, that's my favorite part about the music, is the like real genuine face-to-face connection. But I will say, I do like TikTok lives. That's where I've really been able to grow a fan base, because you're not just posting a video, people can interact with you.
Right.
So I get the majority of like my avid, like number one listeners, people buying merch, you know, people commenting, from actually getting to interact with people. And it's still not the face-to-face, like, is my favorite.
Right.
You know, there is a part of it where you do feel like you have to kind of go on there and it's like, okay, I'm live, I have to perform, I am on social media. But after a while, I feel like those walls kind of break down, and it's just nice to interact with comments and answer questions and not feel like you're just kind of, I don't know, like a puppet trying to, like, you know, post a video, feel fake. So it's been like, I think, a process and a journey to find out how to use social media for me. Right. As someone who like values authenticity so much.
I love that you said that. For me, I use the analogy of being a fish in a fishbowl.
Yeah.
Like, you're just sitting there like, hey, everybody, I guess we have to do this, you know, and it's like, sometimes it's tiring, but it's also like part of the art, and seem like a very vibrant person. So I know it's easy for you to just show it. And it's like, I feel the same. Like, I can show myself in music videos, or I can show what I do, you know, in a post that people respond to. So the one thing I will tell you, and I think I told you this in person too, YouTube is so I feel like YouTube is the future. Continue making music videos, continue documenting all your live shows, create a channel, because I've seen a huge difference just from doing that. creating. Okay. And that's the best knowledge I can pass on to you is like, I wish I got serious about YouTube way back when. I did one music video and then it took me so long to get another music video. Now I'm doing live stuff on a different channel every week and it's made a huge difference. So YouTube is your friend. Don't forget about YouTube. TikTok, those are your two. So let's play something else. What are we going to play next?
All right. Last one I got is Passenger Seat. That's my newest one.
All right. Here's Passenger Seat by Kennedy Fine.
Receipts shut between the seats of my car. Miles adding up. Gas won't get you far. But you're far. In the passenger seat, time is frozen. Echoes of people coming and going. Ooh, someone to talk to.
Very cool. I love it. Very kind of intimate acoustic. It's got a vibe. Tell me what the inspiration was behind it.
Well, that was probably like the most personal song because that was a solo write. So I wrote that one by myself, like in my room. But it was like very therapeutic to put that one out. It wasn't one of those songs where I was like, this is going to be a hit. This is going to get radio play. It was one that I wanted to release like for me. Because I felt like it was such an important part of like my journey as like a human and an artist. Yeah. So it was just so therapeutic to be able to release it. It was just kind of about how I was saying I'm sentimental, not in like I get my feelings hurt, but I like hold on to things. I like find myself living in memories and in the past. Right. And so it was just about how I can't believe how much like things change and people that you thought that you're like was going to be in your life forever, you get older and you're kind of forced to move on. So that's what it was about for me.
What I loved about that song, I have to tell you, out of all the songs we played, that was the most honest. So you, I think continue to write songs by yourself too, because it, you come from an honest place when you write like that, because you're not trying to hit a target. That's, I find like my favorite songwriters, they're not trying to hit a target. They're just trying to write.
And yeah.
It's just writing to write. That's when it's like, I start to see you as a person and I see you as like an observer. I see you as a life like experience and kind of like a star experience. Like, I think it's important to continue to write from that place because it was intimate. It was honest.
Thank you. It was clever.
It was also poetic and it was also really melodic. So don't feel like you need to hit that target with a pop hit, because pop hits will come and go. The songs that people will continue to kind of like grow with you as an artist are like the B-sides. Like,
I love, you know,
you know what I mean? It's like, you're probably starting to see that, but people will grow with those and they'll become some of your favorite songs to play too. I say that from experience. Any song that has gotten a lot of X, Y, and Z as far as attention, those songs don't always feel like, oh, I'm so excited to play these songs. It's the ones that like have less attention, that maybe we're a little bit more honest, maybe we're a little bit more intimate, that I find the most excited to continue to play. So
yeah, I think
you'll find that same thing too. What's next for you? Are you writing songs? Are you making records? Are you, but you're planning another tour, you said? Tell me what's...
Yeah. I mean, all of it, you know? Just, that's the thing about music. It's like you finish one thing and then it's right on to the next. I am kind of in the process of planning an EP because I've been doing a lot of singles and I actually have 7 more songs recorded.
Amazing.
So, like, all the ones that you heard live, they are recorded. I just, like, I'm working on a release plan for them. So I'm thinking I'm going to do another single pretty soon. I have like a creative way that I want to do my EP that will kind of like tell a story with the songs that maybe I already have released. I don't know. Like,
I love that.
I'm going to think about it, but I'm very excited, writing a lot. Yeah. And I want to go back to Nashville and do some more co-writes because I love writing on my own, because it's kind of like you said, that one felt the most honest because it was just 100% me, but I love collaborating. So yeah. I have like a lot of plans.
In LA, we can do a co-write. We can do a co-write in LA, Oklahoma. We could do
there you go.
We can do one across the country too. So yes, I mean, it's one of those things where I think the more you write, the better you become as an artist. The more people you write with, the better your community of artists becomes. And it's like, it never gets, I feel like there's never enough of accomplishments you can get. I started a songwriting team, you know, while I was, you know, 10 years into my career, and we won a Grammy for writing a song for Ziggy Marley. Oh, and it was such a cool thing to collaborate with people outside of my circle too. But it's also like a great thing when you continue to write with the people that you could love writing with. So just keep growing your circle, keep growing those circles of fans and music and records. And we love the music. Kennedy, where can people find you if they want to find you online?
All right, my Instagram, TikTok is Kennedy Fine Music. And then my Spotify is just my name, Kennedy Fine.
Amazing. Well, we look forward to you coming back to LA. And I started this radio show about 12 years. I'm losing count.
No.
But we've had Bob Marley's guitars, we've had Victor Wooten, Dave Matthews, saxophonist, all kinds of filmmakers. We want to have you back in about 9-10 months when you release more songs. So remember the songs. We're going to have you back, Kennedy.
Thank you.
Kennedy Fine Music on Instagram and TikTok, and Kennedy Fine on Spotify. On behalf of Sam, myself, and Kennedy, we'll see you guys next week. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Peace, love. We'll see you on the flip side.
listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.